Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about an illness that devastates us as a family, as husband, wife, child, like no other illness. And the reason is this illness, known as Alzheimer's disease, takes away the person we knew, perhaps as a parent growing up, or perhaps as a spouse of many years. We find ourselves willing but unable to relate to the person in our lives afflicted with Alzheimer's through no fault of their own. They're simply not able to recognize us when we come to visit, or will have fleeting moments of recognition. According to the AARP in an article several years ago, we could find an answer to this bewildering disease if we concentrated as a nation to centralize our research so that scientists throughout the country would be working together to discover an answer. But tonight, we are going to talk about the possibility of shedding light on Alzheimer's. Tonight, we discuss and learn about a therapy that is being used at the YWCA of Bethlehem, as well as that of Gracedale in Nazareth, and sometimes with individuals who have discovered that the joy of music that is making progress with patients with Alzheimer's disease. My guests this evening are Sabrina Keim, who is the Director of Adult Day Services at the YWCA in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, and the YWCA in Bethlehem is instituting a program of individualized music on iPods for each patient. We will also speak with Mike Colon, who is the Director of Volunteer Services at Gracedale in Nazareth. Let's talk about this very difficult disease and what the YWCA is going to be instituting a program in music, and Gracedale has been offering it now to its patients there for how long, Mike?
We started the program earlier this year. We were awarded a grant through Lehigh Valley Health Network, and then in the spring, we started it on one of our nursing units. So Gracedale, we are a large nursing home of over 650 residents with two dedicated dementia units. So before we opened it up to the entire facility, we implemented it on one nursing unit.
And how many residents participate in the program?
As of today's date, near 20.
20. And and you are going to be instituting this program, Sabrina, when?
Yes, Ellie. Within the next week and a half, we will have all of the personalized playlists together, and we will be implementing it with a start of 5 people in our program.
Let's talk about what we mean by playlists and what we mean by music as a way to influence the behavior and perhaps mental recognition of people with Alzheimer's. Because one of the most difficult things that caregivers have on any level is wanting to be there for the beloved and coming and having no recognition. They don't remember them. They have no, or they have not happy to see them, and it becomes very difficult for the caregiver or loved ones to be available to the person afflicted with Alzheimer's. So what have you discovered in the program, let's say, at Gracedale? What has their...
Well, music in general, Ellie, one of my coworkers, Donna, she's our activities director, who we work closely on this program together, but she discovered a long time ago, music is part of someone's soul, and Alzheimer's being the terrible affliction it is, strips someone of their memories, and Alzheimer's residents often agitated, frustrated, scared, and implementing this program has allowed, it's a good reminiscing exercise through the program when we play music that people listen to in their youth, music that was dear to them. It helps not only for reminiscing purposes, but also it's soothing for these residents.
So let's really talk about what the program is. Mm-hmm. And how you implement it. Let's talk a little bit about that, because we're giving some ideas about what it's like, but let's really be specific. How does this program work specifically, and what helps it work?
Sure. Go ahead. So I can speak to that. The program Music and Memory is grounded in extensive research, and it's connecting people with dementia and memory loss to personalized music through the use of iPods.
And when you say personalized music, what do you mean?
So music that resonates with them on a personal level. Favorite songs, songs from the past that they used to listen to.
So let's be specific, like Glenn Miller music.
Sure, it's different for every person.
Uh-huh. But that's very important. But so each of us has memories in our past that are associated with particular music.
Absolutely.
Some people might be Glenn Miller.
Sure.
Some people might be Tommy Dorsey. Mm-hmm. And some people might be what? What have you discovered?
I'm currently doing an assessment on a person that is new to our program, and he's a former director of a local nonprofit, a very well-known nonprofit in our area, and he was recently diagnosed with dementia. First day was a little nerve-wracking for him, so I thought, you know what, this would be a great time to sit down and play some music and see what resonates with him on a personal level, and found out that he plays guitar. He, through this process of going through the music on the iTunes library, because iTunes allows you to sample music before purchasing it, which is a fantastic tool. We pinpointed the Eagles, Pink Floyd, all types of classic rock music. He started sharing memories from the band that he had with his family from decades ago. He started sharing family stories with me and really it was time for him to leave, and we were still talking about music. And it was really fantastic to see that joy on his face. And I'm hoping he left the center feeling more fulfilled than when he came in, and more that he also had an identity. He had recently lost his driver's license, and he's still processing through what having Alzheimer's is for him. So.
Well, it sounds like, I'm going to use the word miraculous.
Yeah.
Because there has been nothing available to help anybody with Alzheimer's. We just shrug our shoulders or we cry, and there's nothing available to help Alzheimer patients feel a sense of being present or a sense of connectedness with their past. So this is a very special kind of program. What have you discovered at Greysdale, Mike?
Well, similarly, and the program Music and Memory that offers these resources, like an assessment tool and other help with implementation, one of the assessment questions are things like, what music did you listen to on your wedding day? Uh-huh. Things that really tie into very personal memories, very intimate memories that people have. So in terms of assisting with reminiscing and bringing back to light and reigniting some of these fires that are within people, it's very personalized. And we've seen a wide range of music too, being a diverse population of residents, music from Glenn Miller to the Rolling Stones to certain artists that none of us were ever familiar with, and we had to look up. One of our residents who's participating in the program is Spanish speaking. So we went through, and with the help of the families, we're able to identify what kind of records these residents had in their collections, and then we were able to add that. And not just through the iTunes library, the program allows, and we're fortunate that with an iPod, families are able to bring in CDs from home that their loved ones had, and we're able to put the music on there for them that way and personalize it.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and my guests this evening are Sabrina Keim, director of the Adult Day Services Center at the YWCA program in Bethlehem, and Mike Colon, who is the coordinator of volunteer services at Greysdale. And we're talking about a most significant program. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so excited because there's nothing I've ever heard that ignites a sense of wellness in a person with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. They become ignited with joy, which is so wonderful to see because sometimes you just can't connect with them at all. And this is really very outstanding. You have not started the program in the YWCA yet.
Right. We have collected the iPods. We also completed the training, and we're rounding up the end of our assessment process to identify the music for the people that we're starting it with. And
how many people do you have enrolled?
So currently we have 32 people enrolled in our program. And we're starting with the folks that we know really resonate with music and that have musical backgrounds.
Now, how do you find out how music resonates with them?
Mike and I were talking about that earlier. We have live music in both of our centers.
You have live music?
Live music. So people come in to perform, play the piano. Okay. We have students come in to do different performances. And you can tell, I mean, when somebody gets up and starts dancing and singing, that music was, you know, is a big part of their life and something that they enjoy. So and when you're targeting who to start with the program, Music and Memory recommends, you know, to pick people that show an interest in music. And also you can also reach out to those that might be having difficulty with agitation more so than others. Or what they call sundowning, where people get restless in the afternoon, evening hours, because the research has shown that connecting them to personalized music is very therapeutic.
So this is a very wonderful possibility for helping mm-hmm. Those people with Alzheimer's who have not been able to relate mm-hmm. at all to any kind of treatment. And have you found that so at Greysdale? Mike Colon?
We have, and I would think anyone who's worked in healthcare with seniors has seen the impact that music has had on people. As Sabrina was just touching on when talking about live music, entertainers coming in to perform for a senior audience, and when you see how people respond, even prior to Music and Memory, just music in general mm-hmm. brings people present, brings people current, and participating in things. And we are looking forward to continuing to expand the program and seeing more of those positive results.
Well, we're going to talk more about music and memory and its impact on Alzheimer patients when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
In 2017, WDIY is celebrating 22 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit wdiy.org or call 610-694-8100. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
If you are a Golden Age folkie and love the music of Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, and the Kingston Trio, WDIY is the place to be on Monday nights. From 7 to 9 p.m. on folk classics, all of that great music from the late 1940s to the late 60s will fill the airwaves, and we will welcome your ideas about the artists and songs you'd like to hear. Folk classics, Mondays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And tonight we're talking about a very amazing program that is making progress with those people diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And the program is Music and Memory. And it has been effective at Greysdale for how long, Mike?
We started developing the program and implementing it earlier this year, in early 2017.
In early 2017. And Sabrina Keim from Bethlehem YWCA, you're going to be instituting a program of music and memory for those people with Alzheimer's. And when will it start, Sabrina?
Yes, Ali. So we're wrapping up the process where we're collecting the personalized music for the individuals, and we hope to have it implemented in the next week and a half.
Now, what do we mean? We talked a little bit about it, mm-hmm. but what is the essence of the music program? You talked about personalized music, mm-hmm. music, and we also talk about iPods.
Right.
What is their significance in the effectiveness of this program?
Implementing music, again, bringing people to tying it into music that was personalized to them. We use iPods because now, obviously in 2017, iPods are the prevalent device. And then thankfully for the iTunes store, you have a vast, pretty much any artist you can think of right there. So then using the assessments that the families and the residents that we work on together to identify that, and then it helps bring those residents current and a great tool to use. Music in general is a remarkable tool to use.
Sabrina?
Our brains are hardwired to connect music with long-term memory. So if you can identify music that personally resonates with somebody that they listened to in the past, that they really enjoyed and was a favorite, that's the key there. You don't want to move quickly through this process and just give people a playlist of, you know, the 20s or 30s.
So let's be specific.
Right.
So, for example, we're talking about what era did they grow up in?
Right.
When were they teenagers?
Exactly. Were they in the war? Yes.
And were they in World War II? Were mm-hmm. they in the Korean War? Were they, God willing, somebody in World War I?
Sure.
So mm-hmm. the question is, how do you go about making a playlist
right.
for them? Sabrina?
So there's two assessments that Music and Memory, the program provides on their website once you become a certified facility. And basically there's one for people that don't speak, that are nonverbal. And there is another assessment for people that are able to communicate their wants and needs.
So how would you do it? Well, that's very interesting because mm-hmm. there's so many people that do not speak.
Right.
Frustrating for the family.
Absolutely.
So how do you go about making an assessment?
Right. So it's an ongoing process for everybody. So once you create a playlist for someone, that should be changed every 3 to 4 months because we all get tired of the same music. So for somebody that's nonverbal, you can have family involvement, but sometimes, like you were saying, Mike, before, family's not always there, mm-hmm. and we don't always have access to family, so we can take a look at their history, like, you know, when were they born, did they serve time in a
when
war?
When you say serve time, you
right.
mean in the war.
In the war, right.
Military.
Sorry, that came out wrong. And you can sample music on the iTunes library for free. So you can sit with them with a laptop with your iTunes library, and you can go through these different genres. You can start with, you know, choral music as a genre, or big band, different, and see if anything resonates with them.
So they have. So the when you talk about
they
genres,
have the
they have big bands, they have jazz, mm-hmm. they have blues,
right?
And they, what about do they come by years, like mm-hmm. in the 40s?
Sure,
and,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, and the development of rock,
right?
You know, so some people might be in the blues or the
yeah.
you know, the Glenn Miller mode,
right?
And others might be in the hard rock
right.
era.
And
right.
that's why it's so nice to be able to personalize it, because when we talk about music, you could use broad genres like rock, but then you can really, or jazz is one, you could listen to Dixieland jazz, mm-hmm. you could listen to more concert jazz. There's a lot of different types, so that's why it's the assessments are great to narrow that down, just not try to come up with a broad idea of what kind of music they like, but really those artists yeah. and the songs that connect to the
so how
the
can
individual.
How can a family member mm-hmm. Who is just listening
right.
How can a family member get an idea about how they can go about developing mm-hmm. a list of music that their, let's say, their husband or their uncle or their grandmother or their grandfather, how can they go about doing that?
Right. So if they have albums at home or CDs or tapes even of musical interest that the person had, and they can certainly start playing them to see if the person reacts to it, if they start singing along, tapping a foot, maybe moving around a little bit. So you can identify through those means, you know, whether or not it's meaningful.
Can you give us an example of anybody that you've worked with that Sure. has been difficult for a family member and who's responded Right. to this program of music and memory?
Right. We do have a woman in our program who does experience agitation towards the end of the day, or restlessness, which we call sundowning, when you have a diagnosis of Alzheimer's. And we started the assessment process with her. Now that's identifying the music that she would like. And like I had mentioned before, we were still in the early stages of getting the playlist together, because you want to make sure that it's right the first time around, and that it's a positive experience. And she's really, she's previously was a minister. So we started with gospel music and hymnal music and My God singing throughout my office, singing throughout the center, just absolutely did not want to leave my office to continue listening to the music that she liked. And now she wasn't able to tell me exactly what artist she liked, but we started with that genre of gospel and hymnal music, and
It brought her to life.
It brought her to life, absolutely.
It brought her to life, my goodness.
It brought her to praying. She was praying for us and singing, and she even said, I used to be a minister. And this is for a woman that doesn't really speak a lot. So it was really, and imagine her having that music all day, or access to it all day. It's her life. I mean, that's her.
It brings tears to your eyes just to hear the remarkable impact that this has on a person with Alzheimer's, because Alzheimer's has been so difficult. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to hear anything that works and that brings these people to
Pleasure.
A sense of who they be. And this minister was brought back to herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes brought back when she plays the music.
Absolutely, yes.
So how long does she play? Does she play it every day? Does she walk around with an iPod playing the music?
Well, we got done with the list early last week, so we're going to be implementing it with her soon. So she'll have her iPod. It'll be charged. They hold a 13-hour charge, typically, most iPods, and she'll be able to access it throughout the day, in the morning, before activities start. It's a really great tool to use in transition, so before an activity. So if you're going to be showering somebody or bathing them or maybe doing something that the person might have difficulty with, that's really when you want to start using the music, because it sets the person up for a positive experience.
Well, this is very exciting. So we're talking about music and memory, mm-hmm. how finding the music that a person relates to can ignite memories within them and bring them to a sense of, as this minister, bring them a sense of to who they are.
Right.
And how can members of the audience, our listening audience, become involved in this wonderful program?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. So the YWCA Bethlehem, not to be confused with the YMCA, the YWCA Bethlehem, we have an adult day service center, and we are currently collecting iPods, used or new, iPhones as well. A lot of people have old iPhones that they no longer use. And what we do is we restore them. We clear out all of the data, and we renew them with new music. So they can be dropped off to our center.
Where would that
be? Sure. It's our address. Any iPods can be sent to 3895 Adler Place, A-D-L-E-R Place, Building B, Suite 180, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, 18017. And you can also look us up online at www.ywcabethlehem.org. And my name is, again, Sabrina Keim. I'm the director at the center. If anybody has any questions on volunteer opportunities, hosting an iPod drive for your business or your school, getting student volunteers involved. We had a high school student uploading CDs to our iTunes library the past couple weeks. She's been very helpful. high school students know a lot about technology as well, so we definitely welcome them, and it's a great intergenerational activity too, because students can do this with the seniors.
Well, this is wonderful, and you can all become involved by participating in the iPod drive, mm-hmm. and this is wonderful. How about at Greysdale? Do you need iPods as well at Greysdale?
Thank you, Ellie. Yes, we're piggybacking off what Sabrina said. Similar implementation. We are currently working off of a grant that we got through Lehigh Valley Health Network to kickstart the program, but we are accepting donations of the same items, old iPhones, iPods, these devices, even if it's an out-of-service phone, still capable of holding MP3s and a playlist and being able to store music. And we had a Penn State student with us all summer who was helping with both with the assessments and uploading the music, because we have a wonderful volunteer corps at Greysdale, and anyone who is computer savvy and knows how to operate iTunes, you can contact Greysdale's volunteer department. I'm the volunteer manager for the facility. I can be reached directly at 610-829-3686. Again, that's 610-829-3686 to answer any questions regarding donations or volunteering with the program and the residents.
I want to thank you, Sabrina Keim, Director of the Adult Day Services Center at the YWCA in Bethlehem, and Mike Colon, Coordinator of Volunteer Services for Greysdale in Nazareth, for sharing the positive changes in patients with Alzheimer's disease through the use of individualized music for each patient on their iPods. It is a pleasure to know that somehow, somewhere, progress is being made for patients with Alzheimer's. Thank you for bringing us hope for a disease where there has been no hope. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.